sworn statement, and that when we get to the end of it, I'm going to ask you to swear or affirm that the statements that you have made as commemorated on the tape are true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief.
Yes, that's correct.
What do you do for a living?
I am the owner of a residential brokerage firm in downtown Boston, a real estate brokerage firm.
And how long have you been employed in that capacity?
14 years.
Okay. When, where, and under what circumstances did you first meet Troy Stratus?
Met Troy at the beginning of 2004. He had a young gentleman who worked for him contact me to purchase some residential condominiums in downtown Boston. They were looking to purchase anywhere between 20 and 30 condominiums for staff that they were moving to Boston in order to open up a film studio.
And that young man would be Adam Roberts?
Yes.
Okay. So they were opening up a film studio, and they needed the 20 or 30 residential properties for whom?
For who? For his purported staff members.
Okay. What happened next?
What happened next? He enlisted my services to put together a land assembly just outside of Boston, in the neighborhood of a $1 million land assembly in order to build their film studio. He had claimed that he had ownership rights to RKO Films, and they were going to resurrect RKO Films and be the biggest, only, and biggest film studio in downtown Boston. I spent several months in pursuit of that goal, in addition to researching several residential properties in downtown Boston and the neighboring suburbs. He entered into agreements to purchase several properties, had signed accepted offers to purchase with deposits, cash deposits he had made on these properties. One of them he actually defaulted on before entering into a purchase and sale agreement, and the owner of the property retained a $5,000 deposit. He would pick me up regularly in limousines, stretch limousines, take me out to dinner, and all along included in these meetings, because we had extensive meetings about his plans, was Richard Hack. Now, Troy had claimed that he had access to in the neighborhood of a $2 to $3 billion fund that he was managing, claimed that it was in part an endowment from a few different oil companies and also in partnership with a Saudi prince.
Did he name the prince?
Rather unbelievable to me, but what gave him the credibility was the fact that Richard Hack was so intimately involved, and Richard Hack was certainly a verifiable individual. Noted author, he's been on 60 Minutes a few times. I have books, signed books that Richard gave to me. He claimed also that Richard had made quite a bit of money in the sale to the rights, to the movie rights, to the book based on book he wrote about Howard Hughes, which was then turned into the movie called The Aviator.
Okay. Did he name the Saudi prince that he was involved with?
You know what? He did. I don't recall the name, quite frankly.
Okay. Just to be clear, when he was going to buy, or ostensibly going to buy, 20 or 30 properties, what was the general value of each of these properties?
He had one under agreement for $3.9 million. He had another house, single-family home, under agreement for $2 million. All of the properties were between $1 to $4 or $5 million. Most recently, he 6 months, 6 to 8 months ago, was going to indicated he was going to purchase two units, combined penthouse units, at the Intercontinental Hotel and Condominium, brand new complex in downtown Boston, and that would have totaled in the neighborhood of between $10 and $12 million for his personal residence. He also committed to a lease. Well, he had had a lease agreement drawn up for 10,000 square foot of office space on the top floor of a downtown building in a financial district, but never wired the funds that were promised to consummate that lease.
And when was that?
That was in, I believe, the end of 04, actually.
Okay. So, essentially, the fundamental deals in 04 were, at least the deals in Boston were, or Boston area, were a huge area that was going to be the studio for RKO Films.
Correct.
20 or 30 multi-million dollar properties for his entourage of employees or whatever that were going
right.
to be involved in making this whole thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10,000 square feet of office space in the top of the Hotel Intercontinental.
No.
Oh, nope.
The 10,000 square feet of office space was at the Post Office Square. That was a commercial building in downtown Boston in the financial district. The Intercontinental was a residence. That was to be his personal residence. He was going to purchase two penthouse units and combine those units, and that was somewhere around $12 million.
And that was also in 2004?
No, that was just last year.
Oh, that much later.
That was in, actually it was the beginning of 08.
Okay.
He also made representations that he was going to purchase a commercial building in outside at Faneuil Hall downtown for $22 million.
And when would that have been?
I'm sorry?
And that
was the beginning of 08.
Okay. Well, let's keep 08 for 08 and kind of try to go through in order of the way things happened, because
okay.
I'm getting confused.
Okay. So I had put together all those land assemblies, and that was through the end of 04 and into the beginning of 05. He then decided he was going to abandon Boston altogether and now do this entire project out at Cape Cod at in Provincetown, where not only was he going to put up his film studio, but he was going to build a an enormous resort hotel complex in
okay.
Provincetown.
Now, when he had the plans in Boston, mm-hmm. I mean, did you see any concrete evidence that there were plans?
I saw very detailed plans, which were composed by Richard Hack and Troy Stratos. Incredibly detailed plans about sound studios, about restaurants, about retail shops, about tourist attractions. They had every detail down. In addition to that, they showed me plans for eight different movies that they had supposedly gotten approval to go ahead and move forward and begin filming these movies, and that was in conjunction with this Saudi prince.
Okay. So, did he give you what was his reasoning for, after having done all this work in the Boston area and all the time that you had invested in that,
mm-hmm.
what was his reason for switching horses? And
I just decided it was going to be more opportune, and he wanted to coordinate it also with this resort hotel, so he thought it was better situated.
And do you know the resort hotel in Cape Cod?
No, he was going to create it.
Oh, he's going to create
it. Didn't exist, but they had detailed. They spent countless months, and I wasn't involved in that, but they brought me in at the end after they put it all together. They had done a land assembly there similar to what I have done, had done in the Boston area, and supposedly had commitments from several different property owners to purchase their parcels and go ahead and build this film studio. At the end, in the middle of 05, he abruptly abandoned everything and went to Florida, and just with no notification whatsoever, and I lost contact with him. He left behind this young gentleman, Adam Roberts, who had been working for him, and I had established a relationship. Adam was from the Boston area, and a very upstanding gentleman, and reputable, and he was taken in by Troy just as everyone else was, because in addition to the meager salary that he was paying Adam, he did promise to provide a house. He actually entered into agreement to purchase a house for $2 million for Adam Roberts, and that ultimately that agreement was terminated. But there was always the promise that he was going to purchase a multi-million dollar property for Adam to live in and call his own home. So when Troy left Boston, the Boston area, in the middle or end of 05, actually at the beginning of 06, I had a conversation with Adam Roberts and convinced him he should come to work for my firm, which he did. He spent all of 06 working in my brokerage firm in Boston. And then at the beginning of 07, he was contacted by Troy. Troy flew him down to Florida, bought him a new truck, put cash in an account in his name, and gave him a furnished apartment that Troy was paying the rent on for Adam to come back and work for him, which he did. Troy then, sometime in the summer of 07, contacted me, apologized profusely for abandoning his plans, but said that he had been spending the last 6 months or so resurrecting those plans and putting together a land assembly in Fort Lauderdale. He had plans to purchase countless sites along a half-mile stretch of A1A in Fort Lauderdale, going back three or four blocks. That's where he was going to put his film studio. He flew me down there, picked me up in a limousine here in Boston. My wife and I flew first class. We got to Fort Lauderdale, and he put us up in the presidential suite of the Atlantic Hotel and handed me the keys to a brand new Rolls-Royce Phantom that I could drive around and just shopping and have fun while I was there for the few days. He then sat me down at a lunch meeting and indicated he wanted me to come and oversee all the land acquisitions in Fort Lauderdale for this film studio. And also, I would commute from Fort Lauderdale to Vancouver, where he was going to open his headquarters for his oxygen company, where he claimed that he had contracts to provide oxygen for several airlines and hotels and casinos. He was also going to open up oxygen bars for the general public.
What exactly would an oxygen bar be?
There's flavored oxygen. Those things actually exist from places, but you can go in and you inhale flavored oxygen. For what purpose, I don't know, but that was his claim. Anyway, just lost my train of thought. So that that was promised to me. He was going to give me a salary of $1 million per year on a five-year minimum. He also promised me that and walked me through with Richard Hack. They gave me a tour of a $6 million house on the Intercoastal in Fort Lauderdale. And he claimed that that was part of my compensation, that I would be given this house. In fact, he went to the extent where he actually drew up an offer, had me sign the offer to purchase this for him, and he was going to provide the funds for it. Well, that offer needed to be accompanied by a significant deposit, and the deposit never made it to the brokerage firm. Several months went by, and I never heard from him Actually did receive a few phone calls and contacts from Richard Hack that they were putting together a contract and were going to be sending me this contract to come work for them. Never received that contract. Several months later, he got on the phone, asked me to hop on a plane, and he flew me to Vegas, and I spent the weekend at the Wynn Hotel. And
what kind of a time period are we in now?
This was in 07, mid-07.
Okay, so he's flown you to Vegas.
He flew me to Vegas, and supposedly to solidify this contract. I met Nicole Murphy at that time. We had the dinner where Troy had thrown a dinner party he hosted for one of his staff members. It was an anniversary party for one of his staff members. Nicole Murphy was in that dinner meeting. I actually spent the afternoon shopping with Nicole Murphy, and then the dinner at the Mandalay Bay that evening. The next day, we all had a private cabana at the Mandalay Bay. Troy was not shy about spending money, and he did pay for my stay at the Wynn Hotel the entire time. But somehow we never got around to finalizing our contract, and that was supposedly why he had flown me out there to sign this contract to go to work for him. I then came back to Boston, and a few months after that, he asked me to fly down to Fort Lauderdale again. I got to Fort Lauderdale, and he sat me in a meeting immediately as I got off the plane, sat me in a lunch meeting with a gentleman who owned several parcels of land, including hotels along A1A in Fort Lauderdale, and two real estate brokers. He indicated to these three individuals that I was his money man, and that he was their mission was to go out and find the parcels to purchase, present the information to me, and that I would write a check then and there and give them the money to go forward with the purchase of all these parcels. And so, yeah, without ever discussing that with me, but I wasn't in a position to dispute it in front of those folks right then and there, because I believed that that was his plans. And the reason, again, that I believed all this, or was led to believe it was true, I was really going on the resume of Richard Hack, and not only Richard Hack, but now I had just spent the weekend with Nicole Murphy, and he had a very close relationship with Nicole Murphy. He claimed that Nicole was his girlfriend in high school and was the love of his life, and now he was resurrecting his love affair with her. He even had indicated that he was thinking about having a child. So that's what led me to believe that all this was real. I didn't have any way to verify the resources that he had, but I was going on the word of Richard Hack, and then certainly the relationship with Nicole had enhanced my belief that all this was real.
Well, surely it must, I mean, it would just seem to me like a reasonable man would also say, if this is not true, why would he be doing that?
That's exactly it. I just could not understand what the point of all this, other than the fact that he associates himself with all these credible people. For instance, sitting me down in a meeting with these folks in Fort Lauderdale. Now, he's telling these people, I'm his money guy. I have access to all the money. Now, these folks, in 2 seconds flat, can go on the internet or make a phone call and verify that I am legitimate owner of a downtown brokerage firm in Boston, Massachusetts, with a stellar reputation. So, again, it just further enhances his credibility by all the credible people that he surrounds himself with. And yet nobody disputes any of these things. He'll sit in meetings with me and make representations that they're just half-truths. When he came back to Boston in 08 now, he decided he was going to resurrect his whole program back here in Boston. And then we met with several influential parties in downtown Boston. We met with representatives from Port Authority and several different individuals that he would make statements to, representations that he was going forward and building a film studio, and he would identify parcels, and as if he had commitment, he indicated to people he had commitments. He was building his property, his studio on these sites, and yet there was never any agreements. All he did was simply identify the sites or maybe have one conversation, but never had any agreements in place. He then had me involved. He went and composed a CD that he wanted to have be the theme song for the new Pink Panther movie that was shot in Boston last year with Steve Martin. Just so happens that I had rented an apartment to Steve Martin, and Troy put a copy of the CD into my hands and asked me to hand deliver a gift basket, an elaborate gift basket, and a copy of this CD to Steve Martin. I did that, and I did that because Troy had indicated to me that his mother or stepmother, whoever she is, Nancy Wilson, was close friends with Steve Martin. Anyway, I did put the CD in Steve Martin's hand. At a later meeting, Troy asked me to if I could come find an investor who would be interested in purchasing a percentage of the ownership rights to that CD, which he was going to make public. And he was looking for an investment of about $2 million. And I did not take that anywhere. I am sharing this information with you because I wish that the information was available to me long before I ever became involved with him. I know that he continues to do these things. He's done this elaborately with a real estate broker in Fort Lauderdale as well. I know he's duped so many countless people, and that's why I'm providing this information in the hopes that he will not be able to continue this fraud.
Now, when you say that he bought Adam Roberts a truck, do you know whether he actually bought the truck outright, or did he make it possible for Adam Roberts to buy himself a truck?
No, he did put a percentage of cash down on the truck, and then there were monthly payments, and then when he ultimately abandoned Adam, the truck was repossessed.
Okay, that's why I asked, because that's a pattern I've seen over and over and over again.
Right.
Now, do you know of any cases where he duped anybody into using their own personal credit cards?
I only heard secondhand, actually heard through Adam Roberts, but recently, within the past 6 or 8 months, I know he had an extended stay at the Intercontinental Hotel in Boston, and he did have a young gentleman that was working for him put that room bill on his credit card.
Do you know that young man's name?
His name was Simon. I forget his last name, but he was the young guy who was in all the Bowflex commercials.
The real estate lady in Fort Lauderdale?
Julie Jones from Premier Estate Properties in Fort Lauderdale.
Julie Jones, Premier Estate Properties in Fort Lauderdale. Okay. Do you know of any dealings he had with an individual named Charles Matar?
I do not.
Do you know of anything that he actually did in the Middle East?
Other than his claims to travel back and forth there on a regular basis and to have access to these funds, I don't know of any specific dealings that he's done.
Now, of all the deals that you know of that he was been contemplated or negotiated or, you know, any of these things, did any of them actually come to fruition?
I understand that he did close on a single-family home in Fort Lauderdale. I know he had a deposit. I think he had a non-refundable deposit on a house of $1 million or so in Fort Lauderdale, but never went through with that purchase.
He lost $1 million on a house he couldn't close on?
I understand that through Adam Roberts, and Troy had himself shown me the house, but I never went through the house. I saw where it was located, but I did understand he had $1 million non-refundable deposit on that house and then never went through with the sale.
Do you know who the broker was handling that or anything?
I do not, and that's something that perhaps Adam Roberts can assist you with.
Okay. All right. As you sit here today, knowing what you know, what do you think this man does for a living?
I believe him to be the greatest con man in the history of the world.
Now, Richard Hack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you met Nicole Murphy.
Yes, I did.
And Nicole Murphy's involvement or association with Troy Stratus made you that much more likely to believe that there really was something to Troy Stratus.
Absolutely. In fact, Adam Roberts, my relationship, Adam spent a year working for me and then went back to work for Troy, and he spent and stayed in a house out in Granite Bay that apparently was owned by Nicole or and Troy. I understood that Troy was purchasing and going to renovate that property.
My point being that Nicole Murphy and her association with Troy served as a sort of an inducement or an encouragement for you to continue to believe in Troy.
Without question. After I came back from that Vegas trip, I, at that point, had no doubt that what he was claiming was true,
okay.
Particularly the way that he was just throwing money around. So he definitely had access to money from some source.
Okay. But now, as you sit here today, do you believe that Nicole Murphy was herself a part of the scam?
No, not at all. I believe that he took advantage of Nicole Murphy.
Now, similarly, you met Richard Hack, and Richard Hack was involved with Troy, and because of who Richard Hack was, that served as an inducement or encouragement for you to believe Troy. Do you believe that Richard Hack...
I believe Richard Hack is intertwined with Troy Stratus, intimately involved in every little mechanism and scheme that they're plotting, whatever their ultimate goal is.
And how do you differentiate between those? I mean, what do you see out of Richard Hack that you did not see out of Nicole Murphy?
Because of the fact that Richard was very much involved in the scheming of these plans. I don't believe Nicole was. I believe that Richard and Troy planned out all of these different proposals. I have no doubt that Richard and Troy are partners in whatever their plans are.
Okay.
Equal partners. I don't know. I do not believe Nicole is a partner in any way, shape, or form. I believe that Nicole is a unfortunate victim.
Okay. All right. Is there anything that I have not asked you that you think I should have asked you, anything that you know that should have come out that we've not covered?
I think we've pretty much covered it all. I don't know, other than, again, just further proof of their plans. Richard Hack and Troy provided me with a script of a 2-hour telefeature that called Plantation. They had actually promised me a small part in that, but said that they were going forward with the filming of this, and it was going to be filmed out in Maui. That obviously never got off the ground. But they just had so many elaborate schemes and plans. I can tell you that Troy Stratos is a brilliant individual, highly eloquent, and extremely knowledgeable on any subject. And so it's very easy to be taken in by his claims. And as I again stated earlier, that what further reinforces or gives him his credibility, lends him the credibility, is he does constantly surround himself with credible individuals.
Okay. Anybody offer you anything, threaten you with anything, promise you anything to get you to make this statement?
Not at all.
Okay. You know what perjury is?
I do indeed.
You understand that when you make a sworn statement, you have an obligation to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, based on that understanding of your obligation, would you swear or affirm that the statements that you've made as I have commemorated them on this tape are true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay. That will conclude the statement of Jeff Goldman. The time is about 12:48 in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time.